This is Sober Reference. You're listening to a sober snack, bite-sized tips and tricks that will help you stay sober today. We share more cost-free resources on our website, www.soberreference.com, and hope that you'll connect with us on social media. Search Sober Reference now and look for our logo. For more information about today's guest, visit our show notes. We hope that you find this content valuable and leave feeling inspired to drink less, live more, and meet your potential. Enjoy. When asked, what can I get you to drink? What do you say?
Oh, either a Diet Sprite or ice cold water.
During your sobriety, what new belief, behavior, or habit has most improved your life?
I wouldn't say something new because my beliefs and my behaviors changed the day that I went into rehab. They have just strengthened throughout each month because I work on the steps, I speak to my sponsor, I do daily gratitude lists, and I give myself tools I need to strengthen my recovery each and every day. So I would say my mindset has gotten a lot stronger each and every day.
Is there anything that comes to mind when I just ask, like, what's something you believe about yourself now that you think 2 years ago you would have had a hard time believing?
That I'm worth living. That I'm worth having this life.
Was that something that was like obvious to you? It was loud in your mind, or was it a sneaky little subconscious thought?
That grew. I honestly still, I can't believe 17 months is on Friday. And I still think, do I deserve this second chance in life? Why was I saved? What's in store for me? And do I truly deserve to be on this new journey? That I do think of that often. I really do.
I feel like that's the gift of being on the journey is you get to, like, you have to go through the questioning to get to the answer. And you have to get to the answer, which is the truth, to get to the cheerleading, you know, and to really get to that part where you can completely celebrate life. I want to acknowledge you for doing that work. If there's oh, my absolute pleasure.
What advice would you give to a smart, driven adult that's getting sober for the first time?
Usually when we're drinking or drugging, it's because we're going through pain and we don't know how to deal with it. Drinking and drugging is a byproduct of something we haven't dealt with in the past, and we continue to not want to deal with it by drinking and drugging. For me, my biggest thing was I gave up hope. I gave up hope about everything. And I now know that hope stands for hold on, pain ends. So as long as you hold on, the pain will end. Your life can change and you can live the life you've always dreamed of. Just don't lose hope. Everything's only for a moment. If we hold on, everything changes. It always does. But as you know, when we're in our addiction, we never think anything is going to change. We think we're destined to die from our disease and there's no possible way we can get help. And nobody knows our pain. You know, we're the only ones that ever go through that pain. And that is so far from the truth.
Is there advice that you've heard that you think they should ignore?
Advice to try to get sober? I would try to listen to as much advice as possible because, as we know, some people's advice isn't worth anything. But in order for us to get the advice that is, we definitely have to listen to all the advice because we're not really sure which advice we're getting from whom that is going to be the advice that we need to stick and help us change our mindset to become recovered. And I'll give you a perfect example. A gentleman said to me the other day, he said, "You're doing really good, but remember, you were lost in the woods for 27 years. It's going to take you that long to get out." And I listened to it. And I got home and I was like, it's not going to take me 27 years to get out of the woods. I was in the woods because I was lost and I didn't know my way out. I now know my way out. And I can see the light and have a perfect path out of the woods. If it takes me 27 years to get out, knowing what I know now, I don't know. I'm directly going out of the woods. I know what I need to do.
What myths have you heard about sobriety that you would like to respond back to?
It would be about the fellowships. It would be about, you know, we all know there's separate one, AA, NA, CASA. There's different fellowships. You always hear, oh, you don't want to go to the fellowship. You don't want to go to a home group. You know, they're cults. You know, they have cliques. You know, they won't accept you. It's just like everything else in life. Yeah, there's people that click together. Yeah, there's people who are rude and ignorant and say things they probably shouldn't. Just like you just said, you take what you can and utilize it for the good of yourself. When I got to my meetings and I found my home group, it was quickly for me to take a look at who I shouldn't be speaking to and who I should, and get the information from the people that I felt most comfortable from to help me with my sobriety journey. It's just like everything else in life. There are some people you don't gel with. There are some people that you do. Some people are assholes and some people aren't. And you got to, just because you're sober doesn't mean you're not going to fall into the same categories with people. People are people. You're a person. You have to learn how to deal with that and use it for the positive now. Don't look at the negative. And you know what I found? When you try to go to new meetings, usually the new meeting that you go to, usually for me, you hear something in that meeting that you haven't heard before. And you're like, oh, wow, okay. So I was meant to come to this meeting to specifically hear what I just heard today. And stop thinking about coincidences now anymore. I truly believe that things happened to you for a reason at that time that you possibly needed to hear that. My perspective on life has completely changed. I was that glass half full guy. Like, where the hell is the rest of my drink? Why isn't there ice in it? Why isn't it overfilling off the top? And now I'm just so thankful that there's something in the drink that can quench my thirst. I look at everything like that every single day now, and it makes your life so much more full of gratitude.
Throughout your sobriety, what have you become better at saying no to?
I actually have boundaries now, where before I really didn't care so much about myself or anybody else around. And I would do stuff just because I thought it was silly or crazy or could get me in trouble. And I didn't care of the repercussions or who it hurt or, you know, what may come of it. And now I know that I have a friend who I told him, I said, you and I cannot speak recovery or sobriety no longer. And I've known him since seventh grade. So I've known 30 plus years. And he said, why is that? I said, our views on sobriety and recovery are completely different. You know, he's been clean off of opioids for like 10 years, which is great. And alcohol for 10 years, which is great. But he's been on Suboxone for 6 years of those 10. And I said, then now this is just my opinion. I said, but I don't want to speak recovery to you because for me, you're not living in recovery. You're living on a maintenance program that is helping you not to go back to opioids when in fact, you're still getting something that technically is the opioid from the doctor. I said, now, I love you and I'm proud of you, that you're not getting out there getting street drugs and you're not drinking anymore. But when are you going to start working on yourself to get off of what the doctors are still giving you? So I said, from here on out, I love you, man. You're my best friend. I said, but let's just not talk recovery and sobriety together. And we can just have our lives. You know, I mean, like I'm his godfather to his son and vice versa. We've known each other forever. But I was like, I just don't want any tension between us because my views on recovery and sobriety are different than yours. So let's just not talk about it.
Yeah. What do you believe about yourself, or what do you believe in general that allows you to stand up for yourself in that way?
Because I finally love myself for the first time in my entire life. I finally know what I'm worth and my value in life. I truly believed I was worth nothing, that my kids were better off without me. My wife was better off without me. My mom was better off without having me as a son. And I didn't know my purpose in life. I didn't want to live. You know, I had 3 suicide attempts that I lived and I gave up and I thought I was a complete worthless piece of crap. And now through recovery and working my steps and talking to my sponsor and doing these podcasts and sharing my story and getting these humble, humble feedback and messages from people all over the world. I mean, it's crazy. These messages I get from just Switzerland and like United Kingdom and Australia. It's amazing to me to know that what I'm doing is affecting others, which allows me to understand the fact that I am worth something and I'm valuable and that my message speaks to people that need to hear it. So I love myself now. I'm proud of myself, and I know I have something that I don't want to give away again. I finally feel like a beautiful person. And when I do these podcasts and I share my story, there's no money involved. There's no fame and fortune. I feel good inside. It's a different feeling. It's like I did a service that generally makes me feel as if this is my purpose in life and I'm doing something that I should have been doing all along, but I wasn't able to because I was lost in addiction and alcoholism, which I now know that I had to go through in order to be able to do this now. So all those 27 years of being lost wasn't happening to me. It was happening for me so I could collect or collect all that information, all that sorrow, all that pain, and utilize it and use it and be able to share it now to help others. So I'm worth something now. You couldn't have told me any of this my first month in rehab. I would have been like, go piss up a tree, you're lying. Just get away from me. Even my friend who got me into rehab, and when I talked to him at the airport, he's like, I'm proud of you. I love you. You're about to get back 10 times everything that you've lost. I just spoke to him like 3 days ago. I said, man, you lied to me. And he goes, what do you mean? I said, I'm getting back 100 times. I said, I could have never imagined any of this. So it's just unbelievable how my life has changed is absolutely unbelievable.
When you have a thought about alcohol, what do you tell yourself or what actions do you take to help you remain sober?
It's not been my experience. And I truly believe, the day that I was at the airport, and I talked to my friend. He got me the plane ticket. He got me into Banyan Treatment Centers down in Florida. And I hung up the phone with him because he said, call me when you pass security. I want to make sure you're getting on the plane and you're not going to catch a cab and leave. And I said, hey, Brandon, I said, I got 30 minutes. I'm about to board in about 30 minutes. Just want to let you know I'm here. And he said, I'm proud of you. I love you. Everything that you lost, you're about to get back 10 times. And he hangs up the phone. As I go to sit down in the seat, waiting for them to call me to board my plane, as I sit down, I get this overwhelming feeling of hope that came over my entire body. All my worry went away, my doubt, my fear, my anxiety, my panic. It was a warm blanket feeling that went over my entire body. And I heard this voice in my head, and it was a warm, kind, loving voice. And it says, everything's going to be okay. It was the most amazing experience I have ever felt in my life. And I truly believe that day in that airport that it was taken from me. My addiction cravings were taken from me. I have not thought about drugs or alcohol one time since that day. And it was a truly, truly amazing experience that if I were not to acknowledge, wow, what a waste. What a waste it would have been. So for me, I truly believe it was taken from me. I don't think about it, not 1 minute, not 1 second, not at all. People need to understand this is truly a fight for our life. It's life or death. And the miracles that happen for us, if I were to be fake and be reading off a piece of paper and have this whole thing staged, I mean, that would have been, it wouldn't hit home. You have to be authentic. You have to be willing to share. And yeah, it's funny because people tell me, oh, you were in the Marine Corps, you were a Golden Glove boxer, you were a mixed martial arts fighter. I do bodybuilding, you're just like man's man. But then you cry and you let your emotions come out. How does that make you feel? That makes me feel more brave than I've ever felt in my life because I used to hide all that stuff. And now I know that emotions bring you courage, to bring you bravery. You have to be yourself. I'm not hiding anymore from anything. And I need people to understand that. Let it out. Speak to people. Don't hold things in. The more you speak, the better you feel.
When you're asked, why don't you drink? What do you say?
I will lose everything that I've loved or ever loved within a day. Within a day, it'd be gone. I can't have one drink. One drink does not exist in my mind. If I pick up, I'm going to try to make up for the past 17 months of not drinking. When I got to rehab, the doctors took all my blood and took all my tests. My liver and kidneys were 4 times what they should have been. My blood pressure was 167 over 145. I was on the verge of having a stroke. The doctor told me if I were to continue to drink for the next year and a half, I wouldn't make it to the age of 47. Picking up alcohol is going to kill me, period. I don't want to die. I did at one point because I was lost, but now I'm found and I do not want to die. My life is precious to me now. And I now know that each one of our lives, we're all here for something special. We all are unique. I want to find out what it is because I've wasted so many years. And I'm really excited to find out what is in store for me now.
Oh, I love that. I'm over here grinning like a three-year-old because it makes me feel like a three-year-old, that excitement for life and the curiosity about what's possible and the fact that like we can dream again because we have the ability to know that like a lot is available to us and maybe even anything is possible, you know, like we're just living from a new state of being. And I feel it. I feel that anything is possible now. Whereas I think before I probably was just, I wanted anything to be possible, but I didn't believe that I had it in me or was worth it or whatever. You know, it's that high potential, low self-esteem conundrum that I really just suffered in for years and years and years because I didn't really like myself. And that's changed a lot since I got sober.
That's the key right there. You didn't like yourself, and neither did I.
Thanks for listening to Sober Reference. We hope you found this content valuable and are leaving feeling inspired to drink less, live more, and meet your potential. You can find more cost-free resources on our website, www.soberreference.com. We hope that you'll connect with us on social media, search Sober Reference now, and look for our logo. Great job taking in sober positive content today. Until next time, this is Sober Reference, and we are so glad that you're here.